It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I don't know. For me, I want to get to 10,000 yards. I want to win another championship. I don't know. I'm chasing greatness. You know, I feel like I still got more than a couple more years. So I feel like these last couple years is my best years, and I'm sure everybody feels that way. But, you know, I'm working, and I feel like I'm getting smarter. I'm getting wiser, like I said, and I feel better physically. So I feel like I got, you know, these next couple years or 3 years is going to be my best years. 1,100 yards and a healthy season.
All right. Do you want to stay here in Denver?
Of course I do, but
Chris Harris said, well, I'll give him a shot. I'll give him a chance at the end of the year.
At the end of the day, you know, I could sit up here and say, yeah, I want to be here in Denver in the whole 9 yards, but if I hit free agency and I have 1,100 yards and I'm coming off explosive year, we make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and I hit free agency, of course I'm going to listen to other teams. Why would I not?
You know what? One thing from yesterday that struck me, Tommy, is how many players are just really here for one more year? I mean, not that that changes every year, but I mean, we're talking about some core guys. Sanders, Chris Harris, Derek Wolfe, Gotsis.
Four? It's not a lot.
They're all starters.
Gotsis is on his rookie deal.
And Flacco.
Well, he's not technically up, but they could just release him and not owe him any money.
Mm-hmm.
But why'd you went back to the Chris Harris, I'll give him a shot, but his most recent comment about wanting to be with the Denver Broncos was, I want my name in the rafters. Like, basically, I want to retire here. Chris Harris wants to stay here. I think I'll give him a shot means that I'll consider the Denver Broncos first.
You don't think there's a bigger sense of urgency with such big names on the team who could be done?
Draymond Jones is a replacement for Gotsis. I wouldn't see him not coming back as a big deal. Joe Flacco, if he's competitive and has a good year,
who do you think of that?
He's back.
Who do you think of that crew is here for this is it?
I'd say Derek Wolfe, but he's open to taking. I mean, the second contract was a relatively hometown discount type contract, so I could see him coming back for a lot less money. I think he's made a name for himself here. He's been here. He's one of the longest tenured guys here. He's made it, you know, people identify him as a Denver Bronco. But I think Gotsis is the one that's probably not going to be here.
Really? Why?
Because of Draymond Jones. They drafted his replacement.
Even though he's a second round pick and
Draymond Jones is a third round pick.
Okay.
And he's much more polished.
You can't see Draymond Jones and Gotsis being here and Wolf being gone?
I think they view those guys as replaceable because they look for guys that are fit their system. I don't think Gotsis is as can play more than one position. They look for guys that have that ability to kind of bounce around inside, outside. I don't think Gotsis is that guy. But I think Chris Harris Jr. is back here next year.
Really?
I don't think
there. Why do you think that?
Because the Broncos gave him free money.
Yeah.
You don't think that goes a long way for Chris Harris?
It's still remarkable.
Provided that he plays well.
Okay.
He'll be turning 31 next year.
Okay.
They just paid Jackson, a 31-year-old, a 3-year contract. I don't think the age is all that. It's how he performs.
You think Emmanuel's just on a 1-year
deal? How he performs and how the other guys around him perform. You got to understand it's a competition, and he said it.
All right.
If Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick and Winfrey and Craycraft and all these.
Okay. He's make them team.
All these guys. Look, they must see something
they
in him.
They did move up to get Winfrey. I know. Yep.
Which is odd. I mean, they basically gave up their seventh to move and get up to get him.
Yep. True.
So they like him. I just think that you got to see how the other guys are doing. as well. I mean, if all these guys just have crazy years.
Does the record matter? What matters more, the team record or the individual performance?
Performance. Well, although I did say if they don't do well, 8-8, they just blow it up, which would mean that Chris Harris isn't coming back and Emmanuel Sanders wouldn't be coming back.
Yeah, what if they're 8-8?
Derek Wolfe isn't coming back and Joe Flacco isn't coming back.
At 8-8. Yeah. So you say if they go 8-8, then the next year is 6-10. Because
Drew Lock's your starting quarterback.
Correct.
You're blowing out all your veterans. You have a young receiving core.
Yeah.
Your defense should still be pretty good. You know, Vaughn is going to be, he's in his 30s now. But you still have Bradley Chubb, you still have Bryce Callahan, Kareem Jackson. Your defensive core, yeah, they probably address
inside
linebacker.
Can you really count on a rookie quarterback getting you more than
a... It'd be a second year.
Okay. Because he learned by osmosis.
Osmosis.
Strong. Force is strong. I'm just getting better. I'm just watching. Sitting here on the sideline. Boy, am I getting better.
So you think 8-8 is...
I think
it's what they're going to be,
right.
So they're trending in the right direction.
I think they'd be trending in a confusing direction.
I feel like they're all in, and 8-8, when you're all in, what are we doing?
That's right. That's a confusing direction. 10-6, popping champagne corks. Nick Ferguson's got, I think he's talking to the city government officials about planning the parade route.
And Nick Ferguson was a little bit critical of me saying 8-8. If they're 8-8, then they just need to blow it up. Now, he's thinking the team is good enough to go 12-4. If they're four games worse than...
That's a big disappointment.
That's a huge disappointment, but it would be... He's okay with the current structure of the team. Let's keep going.
Well, but what is that?
He underperformed his expectations.
Yeah, well, what does that mean, then? You're going to re-sign... You're going to offer a ton of money to Chris Harris and Emmanuel Sanders and Derek Wolfe?
At 10-6?
No, at 8-8.
No. No, I'm blowing it up. It did not work. We're all in for this year. See how it goes.
I think 8-8 is very confusing.
I think you're underestimating the value of Joe Flacco here. I think I think everyone is. He's the 32nd ranked.
Oh, he's the most important player on the team. There's no doubt about it.
Quarterback situation according to the USA Today, because Joe Flacco is bad and overpaid.
Right.
Who cares about the money? They're not paying him. You're not paying him. I'm not paying him. I could care less if he's overpaid or underpaid at this point.
Okay.
I just want him to go out there and play.
He's a
winning quarterback.
I'll give you this. They are set up to win now. They've pushed the chips in the middle of the table. There's no doubt about it.
You can't say they're set up to win in the future. You can't say that.
No, that's
not
my,
with
that's,
Emmanuel
that's
Sanders and Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris Jr.
Agreed. That was my point. Like, after we talked to Emmanuel yesterday, it got me thinking about, well, geez, what are we really talking about this year? They really didn't move on from any of the vets. Not really. And you're right. They gave Chris Harris free money. They just gave him money.
So if they have a good year and Chris Harris has a good year, knowing that they gave him free money without adding years to a contract.
If they go 10-6, all right, let's talk about it. Let's take a break and come back and spitball what that scenario would look like next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I know this is what-if territory, which is always, strange, but I think what we're going to see with the Broncos, Tommy, is one of the more remarkable years in their history. First of all, they've never had back-to-back seasons like they've had since the 70s, early 70s. They just have never been like this. Even when you guys went 6-10 after the two Super Bowls, you were back in the playoffs the next year. Did not take you long to rebound. You just did not have to ever. You never, in 15 years with the Broncos, had to go through a period like this. In fact, I'm curious, what's the longest you went with missing the playoffs?
2001 and 2, I think we missed.
That's it, 2 years.
No, there were other years, but
in a row.
Oh, 6, 7, and 8, my last 3 years.
So you went through your last three years.
I was injured for you know, a year and a half of that.
Okay, so you went through regardless. a three-year stretch of not making the playoffs.
Right.
You were on the team for a three-year stretch. And then Shanahan got fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh came in and went 6-0, and you weren't on the team anymore at that point. And then they were the first NFL team to start 6-0 and not make the playoffs.
Right. That was 8-8.
Amazing accomplishment. And then the next year was, of course, the total Josh meltdown.
Yeah, that was the Vaughn year, though.
It was the Vaughn year.
Don't forget about the bad things. The 5-11 year in 2017.
Boy. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's the Bradley Chubb year. You can look at it like that.
Okay. Well, as glass half,
as long
half
as,
full.
As long as you, you know, the Browns have had many of those years and nothing to show for it. But as long as you hit on those draft picks when you're picking that high, it's what the NFL does. It's why the NFL is so great, is because you
can you
immediately rebound.
But can you survive a draft class like Bowles' draft class? I mean, arguably the worst draft class in Broncos history.
Teams, the draft is such a crapshoot. It happens a lot. And people say, Garrett Bowles is your starting left tackle. You got a starting left tackle in the NFL out of that draft.
Did you?
Is Booker the same? No, Booker's 2016, right?
So at 10-6 next year in the playoffs?
Well, that would mean, in my theory, yeah, because you'd be better than the Chargers. I don't think you're winning the division. I think Kansas City would still win the division.
Sure.
But you'd be beating out the Chargers. Man, who knows? Because the NFL is so...
Let's just say you are. Let's just say you are.
Did anyone predict the Browns would go 7-8-1 last year?
No, of course not. You're 10-6 now. What do you do?
Wild card.
Okay. Are we signing Chris Harris to a multi-year contract?
How do you play?
Play great.
We're signing him.
10-6. Manuel Sanders. 1,100 yards. Play great.
We can try to sign him.
Okay.
Talking to him yesterday, it made it sound like he wants to go out and have... Now, he's done the math. He wants 10,000 yards. He has 7,000 for his career. And he's talked about playing three more years. So he needs 1,100 yards, maybe a 900-yard season,
right.
Or 1,000-yard
right.
season.
He's got it. He's got
done,
it figured
he's
out.
Done the math.
Yes.
It didn't make it sound like... Unlike Chris Harris, who I think wants to be here, it didn't make it sound like if he goes out and has a good year... He's going to take a hometown discount. He's going to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to go back to where he grew up. He's taking the highest bidder, which is fine. It's a business. Who wouldn't take the highest? Who doesn't want to take the highest amount of money?
Now, talking to Emmanuel yesterday, it seemed apparent that it is a business, and he's not holding any beefs against the Broncos organization for the decisions they have to make. That was good to hear. But on the same hand,
they've treated him pretty well.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he got extended after the Super Bowl, I think, before he still had a year in his contract left.
I mean, if you're going to make an argument, you could say, well, if you were going to trade anybody in terms of a wide receiver last year, you should have traded Emmanuel Sanders because he could have got you more value. They did not do that. It was DT. Even coming off the Achilles, they dropped a million whatever.
I think they felt like Cortland Sutton is... A young DT. Emmanuel Sanders is not DT or Cortland Sutton. They're completely different players. Different receiver. It was redundant to have DT and Cortland Sutton on the roster if you felt like you could move DT. Get a fourth rounder for him. We got Joe Flacco for DT.
At 10-6, this train may keep rolling with a lot of the similar cast of characters.
But it depends on how they play. You have to assume if they go 10-6, the defense has done their part and the offense was... At least middle of the pack.
Dude, if they go 12-4?
Oh, everybody's getting paid.
Are you kidding me?
Everybody's getting paid. We're trading Drew Locke.
There's not a lot of point to have Drew Locke on this team if they're 12-4.
No, because Joe Flacco's coming back for at least one, if not 2 years.
I don't know
how. Maybe they redo a contract with him.
If they go 12-4, you may as well just deal Drew. He may as well be your...
Josh Rosen,
yeah. Nice knowing you, kid. We're 12-4. Because you're going to have Flacco for two more years, no matter what, if you're 12-4. And you may, you know, you just look at that next guy, whoever that is. But if you're 12-4, I mean, you're drafting like 26th, 27th.
Oh,
I mean,
we can't draft a quarterback then.
No.
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 Is that the Bermuda Triangle.
Bermuda Triangle of quarterbacks. Just go say Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino. Just get it out of the way.
Do it!
Go ahead.
Just go say Johnny Manziel and whoever else you're going to throw in. Tim Tebow.
The 19 other complete failures that have been drafted in the 20s.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Timmy, good to check you out there, pal. I got some bad news for you about Kyle Freeland. Woo.
He pitched last night?
Details next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Dang, I cannot believe we just saw that live. We got the U.S. Open on. Just saw a dude bang home a hole-in-one live. Like, that was not on tape. He just was on the hole, and he hit a hole-in-one. Allie, who was that? Oh, give us... Oh, what? That was pretty damn exciting right there. All right. Well, shoot, I'm not sure who it was.
I have no idea who that was.
Me neither.
It's happened more often than you think. 45 at the U.S. Open?
It's on the 12th, 202 yards. Gosh, what? Who is it? Who is that dude? It's just drawn.
His name Apex?
He's playing
with... He's got a yellow ball.
He's playing with a yellow ball. Two hops and boom!
It's a good thing that thing went in.
Who is that guy? Rough. He looks like a skinny Garth Brooks. Tell me that doesn't look like a somewhat slender Garth Brooks. Don't know his name.
We'll never know.
All right. Kyle Freeland. You ready for the line?
Yeah.
Take a breath. Kyle Freeland last night. Who are the Isotopes playing? Playing OKC. Drillers? Dodgers. The Oklahoma City Dodgers, Tommy. Who beat our Isotopes 12-9. Kyle Freeland, 5 2/3. 8 hits.
Okay.
9 runs. 8 of them earned. 5 walks, 5 strikeouts, 2 home runs.
5 walks?
Yeah.
He has to be working on something.
Yeah, I think right now he's working on staying in professional baseball.
5 walks.
That's brutal. That's absolutely terrible. 0-2.
That will push it back some.
Yeah, what did...
He's not...
That is not...
Two, 3 weeks?
That is not getting it done.
Now we're looking at probably a month.
ERA of 10.13. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Who is in the Dodgers lineup?
That's a good question. Joe... Rex, Smith, Perkins, Rios, Peterson. Is that Jock Peterson?
What's he doing down there? Is he hurt?
Oh, it's not. Shane Peterson. Sorry. I don't know. Mora, Robinson, who knows? Nobody. Bunch of nobodies there for all the good players for the Dodgers play for the Dodgers. Okay, what's your takeaway from that?
The takeaway is either he's terrible, never pitch for the Rockies again.
103 pitches, 61 strikes. So strikes to balls was okay.
Or he's working on stuff.
But they let him out there for a long time, dude. 100 pitches.
Rory Sabatini. That's a name from. That's a blast from the past.
Good for Rory.
First Slovakian to ever make a hole-in-one in the U.S. Open.
Roy Sabatini is Slovakian?
He's Slovakian?
Dude, I don't know if you got all your
Slovakian?
Info. Slovakian? I don't know about that one. Roy Sabatini is Slovakian? Okay. Anyway, I feel bummed for Kyle. I don't know what the heck's going on. I don't know when he comes back. He can't come back in 2 weeks.
Can you just go off the line, like the last line, and say he's just getting beat up? First of all,
dude, you should
that
be
is
dominating.
A hitter's league.
Oh, stop.
It is, and he might be specifically working on something.
Stop.
5 walks is a lot for him.
He has lost his confidence.
Well, that's true.
He's not throwing strikes, not like he should.
103 pitches, so it's not an injury concern.
No. They threw him out there for 100 freaking pitches. It's not good news. Sorry. Freelanders. His comeback is going to be epic. There's something going on. It's probably a serious mental thing at this point. I just think it's so dicey when you go down. You know, it always feels to me like it could go it could keep going down. It's easy for me to see where you continue to be bummed out about what got you there in the first place. Absurd gut check. Then you go down there and you can't perform. You can't get strikeouts. You just cannot get outs. I cannot believe this has happened from the guy that went out there and dominated the Cubs in the playoffs last year to this.
Sabatini was South African.
And then
now
changed
he's
his citizenship
Slovakian.
To Slovakian.
It's an odd change.
So somehow his life is better being Slovakian?
Why not Czech Republic?
High five!
Maybe he's a Chara fan.
I'm going to guess there's some tax implications. Some financial...
It could have something to do with the Olympics. I think there's an article on the Golf
Channel. Dude, are you on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't tell. What's the deal?
It's an Olympic maneuver?
I haven't read the article, but it could be... Olympic related.
He has to have some sort of tie to. He has to have some sort of tie to the country, doesn't he?
Is his wife Slovakian? I mean, that seems like a very random country to just sort of want to be a citizen of.
There's sea lions out there just chilling.
You know, we are really getting too easily distracted here.
Say that dude's name.
Afro Barnett.
Barnrat.
Afibarnett. I don't know, fat golfer. That's who he is. I'm not trying to body shame anybody. It's just the truth. All right, any other rando thoughts here before we take a break?
No.
Are you disappointed by the Kyle Freeland breakdown?
Was last year an anomaly? Was he just faking it last year? He has good stuff.
What happened?
It's mental. It's not physical. He didn't lose his stuff. It's in his head. And I don't think a trip down to Albuquerque is going to help. In fact, it probably makes it worse.
When we started the show today, we got into something. I want to get back to it. Tom's wife chimed in. She felt like Tom was sad. We can revisit that horror show coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, just to clarify, we just saw Rory Sabatini, and Nikki will be with us in just a second. But it caught us by surprise when we found out Rory Sabatini was Slovakian. We know what the dirt is. I know this is a pressing issue for everybody, but he just drilled a hole-in-one at the U.S. Open.
From 212.
Pretty impressive. He's South African, but he got married to Martina Stofanikhaev. Just saying with confidence.
He did.
His second wife, who is from Slovakia. And because he's married a Slovakian, he takes citizenship. He can play in the Olympics in 2020. Doesn't mean he's living in Slovakia. He's just married a Slovakian woman. He probably lives wherever he darn pleases. And now he can go play in the Olympics for Slovakia.
So then on a technicality, does that make him the first Slovakian to hit a hole-in-one at the U.S. Open?
Sure does. Well,
yeah, it does.
Okay. Sure does. Nikki Jabala joins us. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. How are you?
Super. We're just breaking down Rory Sabatini and his love life.
Oh, fantastic.
So in terms of... Well, first of all, what did you think about Emmanuel? I know you were listening. What did you think about Emmanuel on with us yesterday and things he had to say?
I thought it was interesting. I think when you get him on longer interviews like that, you get to see more of who he really is. And you know, when you get only a couple minutes with him here and there, you just get, you know, sound bites. He's pretty well trained at doing these interviews, so he knows, you know, what he should say, what he shouldn't say. But when you get him like that, it's really interesting to hear more about, you know, what he thinks about free agency and the team as a whole and the offense and just, you know, personal stuff on, you know, his upbringing. I thought it was really interesting.
Hey,
I thought his comment about Garrett Bowles was pretty fascinating.
No idea. He grew up a cowboy.
Here's
a literal cowboy.
They did not have much of anything growing up in Belleville. So it's a heck of a story. I mean, he really did well for himself.
Yeah, like, you know, the personal story where he says, listen, I had an uncle who paid for me to go to one football camp. I mean, if you know anything about youth sports, parents, including myself, I'm raising my hand. And Tommy, you're in the same boat. We've poured thousands of dollars into our kids' sports adventures, Nikki. Thousands of dollars. So here he had basically like kind of like one shot, one. And he made the most of it is pretty awesome. It's a cool deal.
Well, I mean, it also, you kind of brought this up in the interview too. It makes you wonder how many, you know, super talented kids are out there that just haven't been given an opportunity because they don't have the means or for any other reason.
Here are some of his comments about Garrett Bowles.
Well, Bowles got to get it together. He's led the league in holes the past 2 years, and trust me, we're having those conversations.
Is he open to those conversations?
Yeah, he's open to them. He listens to me. So we're having those conversations, but at the end of the day, I think a good thing for Bowles is we got Munchak. He's one of the best. He's the best offensive line coach in the league. So me and Ronald Leary's been talking to him a lot, too, so we'll see.
So what did you pick up through the OTAs and minicamp, Nikki, in terms of changes with Bowles in the offensive line?
Well, you don't get to see too much just because they're, you know, they're not really hitting. But I thought it was always interesting to see Munchak and the way he kind of structured his individual work. I mean, it was nonstop teaching. It was probably more teaching than these guys or the Broncos offensive line over the last 5 years really has seen. You don't hear him cursing over there. There's nothing, you know, he's not screaming at players. He's really teaching them where they need to be, where their hands should be, where their feet should be, how they should move. And it's interesting for me to watch as kind of a bystander to this, to see how you get a group of five guys, you know, they haven't played together before, and how to make them move as one and think as one. So, we'll see how he does in camp. I think that's going to be the first test for him. And then, of course, in preseason. I also thought it was interesting to hear what he said about Ron Leary, how Ron's been talking to him. Because I think Ron's role as a leader on the offense, on the line, especially, kind of gets overlooked. Because he's been talking to Dalton Reisner a lot, too. Like, Dalton will text him late at night for questions, you know, on the playbook or whatever they did in practice. And Ron's like the go-to on that line. So I think that's interesting. And I also thought it was interesting when Ron said he didn't want to move to left guard. That was the coaching staff's decision.
Right.
So.
And, Nikki, last time you were on, you said that you are not taking vacation. So what are you currently working on for The Athletic?
I wrote a story about Emmanuel today, kind of incorporating some of his comments and then kind of diving deeper into his routes and his value to the offense and, you know, what may or may not happen beyond 2019. So that was one of the bigger ones. I have a couple other things planned and then some more feature stuff with guys kind of off the field. I always enjoy doing those at this time of year.
Provided Emmanuel's healthy and has a good season like he's expecting, he mentioned 1,100 yards. He has some personal goals there. Regardless of how the team does, do you think the Broncos want him back?
It's a good question. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how confident they feel in Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. If they feel those two are really to take over, really ready to take over the one and two spots, then I don't see them bringing Emmanuel back, especially if he has a really great season. He's getting offers that the Broncos are just not even willing to come close to. I would imagine he would take the bigger contract and leave. If Courtland and Deshaun and whoever else, Tim Patrick, if they don't perform at a level that, you know, they think is up to snub, I think they probably have to consider, you know, would Emmanuel even consider a short-term deal? He's going to be 33 at this time next year. And, you know, before the injury, he was still as efficient and productive. But you factor the age with the injury, what is he going to look like when he comes back? One of the things I found when I was doing this story is that I found a study that was published in March of this year, and I found that NFL players, when they come back from Achilles injuries, they see reduced playing time in year one after the injury, but for a lot of guys, it doesn't seem to affect them in year two. Now, in Emmanuel's case, year one is his final year with the Broncos, so he really needs to show out now, not a year from now. And then, he is 32, so how will that factor into his performance and what happens in the future?
Nikki and I are reading the same report, the same study based on Achilles tendon tears of NFL players.
Yeah,
I read the same sort of stuff.
Are you flirting right now? What are you doing?
No, I just think that we're probably reading it at the same time, Nikki.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it was exciting stuff.
I was going to say, you know, there's a bond that can't be broken now.
Yeah. I'm a nerd. I read sports medicine journals just for fun, but I probably shouldn't say that publicly. But yeah.
When you say it out loud, just look down at your dog and give him a good, good old boy, and that'd be
again,
appropriate.
No life.
No.
This is.
What do you think will be the biggest story from now until training camp with the Broncos?
I want to say ownership in Pat Bowlen's health and whatever transpires between now and the Hall of Fame interim in August, but there hasn't been any tangible update as far as the ownership because the lawsuit that Bill Bowlen filed is still ongoing in Arapahoe County Court, and the separate dispute with Beth, Amy, and the trustees, that's still in arbitration. So a lot of the details are under wraps. But I think, you know, just speculation about the future and who's going to own this team. And what's the future for Brittany Bowlen? Will she return to the team by year's end? And where does Beth fall in all this? I think just generally the speculation and curiosity surrounding their ownership and the future of the team. For me, it is anyway. I think probably others are maybe more interested in the on-field stuff, but I still think that's one of the biggest stories in Denver, not just Broncos.
I'm just wondering, I have not heard of any plans of guys getting together. Have you, Nikki? We're getting together for a weekend. We're doing cornerback camp. We're doing throwing camp. That sort of stuff.
I have not heard. I mean, I think Flacco is back on the East Coast. His family has been over there. He came over separately, so I think he's with family. So I think it would take some juggling. I do know before OTAs, Kevin Hogan was throwing with guys over in Highlands Ranch. He might resume that. So I think there's probably going to be some, you know, casual stuff. But
by the way, hold on a second. I know Joe Flacco was selling his house.
Right.
Has he bought? What is happening with Joe Flacco and his living situation with his family out here? Do you know?
I don't know, man. Like, do you want me to, like, call his real estate agent?
Well, he's been a part of the team since January.
He said he came out here separately. So his wife and, what do they have, five kids?
Yeah, five under six. Five kids under 6 years of age, no twins.
Yeah. So they've been back on the East Coast as far as I know. And then when we talked to Emmanuel at the Home Run Derby, he was asked, you know, are there plans for any throwing sessions with the quarterbacks? Because he did that with Mark Sanchez a few years ago and Case Keenum last year. And he said he basically indicated that it would require some scheduling issues because, you know, Flacco is on the East Coast
right.
and they would have to fly over there or whatnot. Right. So
we'll see what happens.
That's all I know.
Keep your eyes on that, though. That's all I'm saying.
I'll look into his real estate plan. So.
Okay. Thank you, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Man, you're always going realtor.com.
I just know what it means to move and not to move. I took a job in Colorado Springs. I lied to him for 5 straight years that I was going to move down there. I lied about it because I had no intention of ever staying in Colorado Springs. You okay? I mean, your wife texted in and said you sounded sad.
I wasn't sad. I'm not sad about the game. It's the series was how I thought it would go. The better team won. It was the Bruins gave it their best shot. They did. It was the best game they'd played, but Bennington was better. Once they didn't score on that first period power play, I sensed something was wrong. Like, it's one of those games where it's a goaltender game. And Tuukka wasn't getting any shots. He was just standing on that end the whole time. You know, they have 10 shots in the game, or 20 shots, whatever they had was the Blues.
By the way, the Big Poppy message did not happen.
Did not happen.
Despite the reports that were all over the place, it did not happen.
Well, he's got bigger things to worry about.
That's for sure. So when you're seeing Ryan O'Reilly jump up and down and curse and hold the Conn Smythe trophy, what are your thoughts?
I was genuinely smiling.
Happy for him.
Yeah. It was good to see a guy that plays the way he does get recognized and rewarded for it. I didn't think there were many contenders. People say, well, Bennington, but that guy was pulled in one game, played poorly in game 6. So Ryan O'Reilly was the steady Eddie of the team.
Your
maybe
crowd,
Petrangelo could have been in there.
Your crowd will now go more than 100 days without a championship. Do you think everybody will survive?
Well, I care less about the 100 days ago championship. I know you love it.
Oh, I don't love
it. It's still the one you like.
No.
Tom, terrific.
You don't get to do that.
I just did.
Didn't work.
Bruins will be fine.
We all hope so.
A fantastic story out of St. Louis. I mean, just the way they started the season.
So you're happy for hockey?
I'm happy for hockey. It was a good feel-good story.
Great hockey season.
There was some officiating issues in the...
Weren't there?
The playoffs.
No, there were.
That didn't affect the Bruins-Blues series.
How about San Jose moving their freaking door? How about we get a little construction crew going on?
If anybody's pissed, the Vegas fans are probably pissed. They probably thought we could have beat the Blues. We'd be hoisting the Stanley Cup.
Right. Who knew one penalty would lead to 4 straight goals? Well, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues and Ryan O'Reilly and Pam from the office. And they get to celebrate with this song. KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
With a pitch. Ronaldo got hit by the Cole Hamels pitch. Nolan jumped right back up and saying something to Cole Hamels. Umpires getting between the two. Roberto Ortiz.
Inside, and Hamels gets hit by the pitch. That one looked a little bit suspicious.
There's an old line in baseball that, you know, if a right-hander hits a left-hander or a left-hander hits a right-hander, probably on purpose.
Well, now Rizzo gets hit by a pitch, and this thing is starting to get a little bit ridiculous.
Nolan Arenado will play tonight. There was some concern that again, what did you call it? The armor?
We're under the armor.
He caught one under the breast plate or the whatever, the elbow guard.
The guard there.
Sure. Got past the guard. That statement could mean a lot of things, and we're talking about baseball. So he's going to be okay. What'd you think about all the getting hit by a pitch, though?
I think once it happens once, there's retaliation. Then the retaliation leads to retaliation. The Rizzo getting hit by a pitch, I mean, he leads Major League Baseball. I think in his career.
Well, he stands on top of the
plate.
And
he does not move.
Doesn't move.
He's okay getting hit. So that one was, you know, it happens all the time. But the umps, obviously needed to take control of it if they felt like it was intentional that Nolan got hit.
Do you think it was intentional that he got hit?
If balls get away from dudes, you could make the case. He did come out of the game, so it was... You could say, well, maybe they tried to throw at him because he's the best player.
He's Nolan Arenado. He's unbelievable.
I can't read their minds. I have no idea. But after that, I think they're all intentional. Although Rizzo, you could... Who knows?
Here's Nolan after the game. If we play them again, it would be a spicy series. Hopefully we do.
Spicy. Hmm? Again, I'm not sure if it has to do with the fact that they played six games in the course of about 10 days or 12 days, whatever it was, or maybe even back to the postseason last year where the Rockies beat the Cubs. I don't know. But that's just baseball.
Joe Maddon, we get hit a lot, but you got two options. Go to the mound or go to first base. But you don't sit there and jabber. Make your mind up. Do one or the other.
Agree?
Right now, we lead the league in getting hit by pitches, and our guys go to first base. Jesus, there's something a little bit more brewing here with the Cubs and the Rockies. Are these teams on sort of similar paths in terms of talent and what they're trying to do?
They're similar in the standings. They're both vying for postseason.
As much as I despise Cubs fans, I'd love a rivalry, a legit rivalry with the Cubs. Because, like, the Padres are here tonight, and it's just like, you know, I mean, who's really, if you're going to the game,
if you're going to go outside your division
for
a rival, like New England would be, I think a lot of Broncos fans, if you went outside the division, people would say the Patriots because they seem to play so often.
Right.
I think there's a brewing rivalry based on the postseason last year, but they're not within division. They don't play again this year.
Do you feel like the Rockies have a rivalry with the
Arizona,
San Fran.
I think there's some bad blood there is bad blood with San Fran.
But the problem is you can't have a rivalry with San Fran because San Fran's biggest rivalry is with the Dodgers. That's just minor league rivalry stuff. It just can't exist.
So to choose from, we have the Padres or Arizona.
That's it. And that's both weak. Are we really going to get... All right, I got to give the Cubs fans a little credit, okay? As annoying as they are, and they are so arrogant and annoying, they do show up in droves and makes the games much more interesting. How many Padres fans do you think you're going to see tonight down at the ballpark? Handful?
I loved when we'd go to San Diego or Arizona with the Broncos, and most of the stadium was orange.
Yeah.
Conversely, I hated our AFC Championship game.
Pittsburgh. Right.
There were so many terrible towels. When the Cowboys would come here,
I know.
Green Bay would come here. And I was like, where the hell do all our fans go? It's not the fans' fault. It's not the Cubs fans' fault for they live here. They've followed the Cubs all their lives, and they get 3 nights to come here. Hell yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, they're just arrogant. They're just annoying. But annoyance makes up a great rivalry.
What's arrogance?
What do you mean by that? They just think everybody loves them, and they're the... Good old Cubs.
They say this.
And
they think all the other fan bases love them.
Yeah. They think everybody's on
the
their side.
The lovable Cubbies.
All that stuff.
That all changed when they won the World Series, though.
Yeah, because they were exposed
people
for
felt,
the frauds they are.
No, people felt bad for the franchise. It was much like the Red Sox in prior to 2004, where there was sentiment. People were happy to see them win.
You can root for whoever you want. There's just a certain annoyance I have with... I don't know why I feel so much strongly about Cubs fans and Cardinals fans. It's just like... there are a lot of Cardinals fans around here. They're just not as just obnoxious as Cubs fans. I think it's because the Cubs just... They think they're the center of the universe, and it's annoying. Huh. And they're not. And if I hear another stupid story about WGN and... You know, if you were influenced by WGN, you were 6 years old. If you're in your 40s or you're 70 now and you can be properly influenced by WGN. The last time I checked, ESPN's been carrying baseball games for a long time.
I don't begrudge people for being fans of a team.
Oh, my God.
Because they grew up in Texas and they watched the Cubs and now they're lifelong Cubs fans.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with that?
I know, because you're still, you like a dog with a bone with the teams that you grew
you
up
live
with.
In Denver and you love the New England Patriots.
I do. You keep saying it.
If I say it enough, it becomes fact.
It's still the Mike Evans strategy of argument.
Saying, I love Tom Brady.
Saying something that is absolutely not true just repeatedly. I dropped the Patriots before I dropped anybody else from where I grew up. So I lived in Buffalo. And we would play those chumps twice a year. And you hated the Patriots. And they sucked back then, so it was great. We beat the crap out of them. You're the one that's mental with the Patriots. You're the one with crazy love-hate relationship with the Patriots.
Mine's a personal.
Yeah, no, I know.
Reasoning behind it.
Yeah, because you grew up in the shadow of the
in the
Empire.
Town. They called me during the draft and asked, when you don't get drafted, during the sixth round,
yeah.
Their offensive line coach called, when you don't get drafted, we'd like you to try out with us. And they drafted a center in the third round. There's no way in hell I was going there. That would be the last team. There were 28 teams at the time. I would retire before even playing a down, before I play for them.
The jealousy you have just knows no bounds.
Why was I jealous of the 1994 New England Patriots? They sucked.
Let's go to Trevor. Trevor, you're on. Listen, can we both agree we both don't like the Patriots?
You love Tom Trevor.
I agree. I hate the Patriots,
yeah.
Guys. Not going to lie. I hate them. And honestly, they're starting to be like the Cubs fans, you know. They come in groups, waves like drones, like you said. I was actually in Wrigley last Thursday when the Rockies won. I had great seats, beautiful stadium, can't deny it. But I was pretty much the only fan there, me and my buddy. Afterwards, we won, you know. We were getting booed left and right. It was like, you know, when Cubs fans come here, you don't boo them, whatever, other than that fact that it's primarily all blue in the stands. But we go to a bar, you know, right in Wrigleyville. Next thing, you know, first bar, get checked in. 30 seconds into it, next thing, I'm bouncers say, hey, you're out of here. What?
Come on.
Wow,
Didn't order a drink. I'm wearing my Arenado jersey. My buddy's even wearing his cargo jersey from the Rockies. Didn't have one single drink. Didn't say one word to anybody. Get turned around next thing, hey, you guys are out.
See, I think that's actually awesome.
There has to be more to that story.
No, hold on. I think that is freaking awesome that happened, and let's do that here. Let's just kick Cubs fans out of bars.
I have a hard time not agreeing with you.
I mean, you got to admit, there's an element
there'd
of that.
Nobody, for those three games, there'd be no one in the bars.
Well, that's a problem.
Because there's so many Cubs fans there.
Right. But
my only regret is I didn't chew out all the Cubs fans in Wrigley Field because obviously I didn't want to get a fight, saying, hey, you know what? Stay the hell out of Colorado, right?
You got to admit, there's something amazing about that story that just businesses do not care about you if you're an opposing fan.
Part of me wants the Rockies to be a little bit more of a fair-weather team as far as the fans are concerned. I want Rockies to travel more like the Cubs do.
All right, Troy, that's a good story.
Broncos fans travel.
Thanks, Trevor. The thing that I'll miss the most about the Broncos playing the Chargers is exactly what you're talking about in San Diego. It's kind of unique to that stadium.
Wait, you miss that. However, when the Cubs fans come here,
it's annoying.
You have a problem, but
oh,
Broncos
yeah.
fans in San Diego,
it's awesome.
Okay with.
Home game.
It's kind of hypocritical.
I don't care. And? But that was remarkable. And that stadium was, nobody paid attention in the second half, like where your seats were. Nobody cared. It wasn't like the Coors Field militia of 7-year-olds that are watching the seats. Those octogenarians, they take things seriously about who's sitting where. Not in San Diego, not at that place. You got into the third quarter, it's like, pfft.
It's pretty orange.
Sit wherever
lower
you
bowl,
want.
Lower bowl, pretty orange.
Yeah. It's so funny because San Diego is such a beautiful city. If you've never been to San Diego, it's actually a lot like Denver. The city itself is a lot like Denver, except it's, you know, right there on the water. However, they put the stadium in like the – there are bad parts of San Diego, and they put that stadium right in the middle of like the worst part. It's with like overpasses and trains going by and just –
Where Jack Qualcomm – What's it called?
Yeah, what was
it called?
Whatever.
No, it was in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I don't know when the last time you were there, but it's just a like crap
2007?
Area.
2007? Yeah. It's in the middle of nowhere.
What are you talking? It's near Hotel Row and, like, train stops and overpasses. It sucks. That stadium was terrible. I kept being told that was a good field to play on.
Part of the year. The Padres used to play there.
Right,
it was a baseball field.
It was
a baseball stadium.
Terrible one. They're downtown, where the Padres play. That place is awesome. Have you ever been to a game there?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's freaking.
Petco.
Yeah, but they've cordoned off kind of like Camden Yards. Like there's a nightlife area that just kind of runs independently, but it's right there as basically center field. Like if you go to center field and just go out. There's just a whole, it's just a whole thing out there. It's awesome. There's a hill that you can go up. I mean, you're far away, no doubt, if you're watching the game from way up on the hill, but you can go there. You don't have to even pay for a ticket. But nobody cares because it's San Diego and the team's just inherently boring. And we're never going to have a rivalry with San Diego.
Well, Machado might do something about that.
Really?
He has it in him.
I welcome a Rockies-Cubs rivalry. I think throwing at guys is a good way to get that started. Playoff series, if they can meet in the playoffs again, that would be pretty cool.
Their rival is St. Louis.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
The Giants are L.A.
No, you're right.
Machado, he can spice up the rivalry.
Do you think you'd ever be excited going to a Rockies-Padres game? I'm not saying you wouldn't go. But would you ever be excited about it?
I saw one with my six-month-old daughter.
I got it, but were you excited to see the Padres, or were you just like, hey, let's go to the game tonight?
Let's go to the game tonight.
Okay. Hi, Brett. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right.
Hey, so I wanted to talk about the Arenado thing. So is it to the point in baseball to where you catch one on the arm and the guy is throwing at you, so you can't come inside at all?
No,
you get him in the middle of the back. You didn't go high on him. You got him on the arm.
What are you asking? I'm confused what you're asking.
He was upset about it. He felt like he was getting thrown at.
By getting hit on the forearm?
He's a major league hitter. If he thinks he's getting thrown at.
It's different, though, because it's Nolan. And when you're playing as well as Nolan and he's playing unbelievable, I can't blame him for thinking something might be up.
Well, when you throw at somebody, I mean, anybody who's watched baseball, you know you don't go after their forearm. You go after the middle of their back, or you come up and inside on them.
Yeah, well, there's not laser precision sometimes when you're throwing at a dude.
Exactly. You just proved my point. You just proved my point.
What's your point?
If he caught him on the forearm and he's just trying to come inside, he's not throwing at him.
Well, it's not like Nolan charged the mound or anything, but it knocked him out of the game.
No, but he had words to say. In other words, he didn't just drop the bat and go to first base.
Wait. How do you know he wasn't being thrown at?
I don't. But you guys are insinuating that he was. That's why the pitch later on came
back. Tommy, do you think he was being thrown at or not?
Judging by Nolan's reaction, I would say that no one thought he was being thrown at. I'm going to err on the side of a baseball player to know whether or not he's been thought he was being thrown at.
If your best player gets hit, do you have to retaliate somehow?
Yes.
Right.
You got to have his back.
And then you get into the mess that we had.
Right.
Just it is what it is. Whether he's being thrown at or not. You just cannot hit. Was it a fastball or a curveball? I think it was a fastball.
The caller's point is that if he was truly throwing at him, it's up high, it's behind, it's in the back. I just think his reaction says that he thought he was being thrown at.
I think he was being thrown at. I think he was being pushed inside, and if it hit him, no problem. I think that's exactly what was going on. I think they were embarrassed by the game, by the two games and the result the night before. And that's that. And you know what? There's part of me that respects that too. There's part of me that's like, we just got embarrassed. We're not going to settle for that today. Here you go, Nolan. 91 inside. Let's see what you can do with it. Oh, it's off your elbow. I think too, sometimes the pitchers, you can wear a lot of gear up there at home plate.
They, pitchers hate it too.
I don't blame them actually.
Because they don't have to move away. Rizzo does not have to move off the plate. He's on top of the plate.
But then
he's
again,
well protected.
Batters don't get to throw their bats at the pitchers. Now that would be something. You hit me? All right. Stand there. I get one. 60 feet, 6 inches. Ready? So you got to stand there. And you can duck if you want. You can do whatever. You can try to get out of the way. But you hit me, I get to throw my bat at you. Now that would be entertaining. And if you hit the pitcher, all right, well, it's all good.
How many throws does he get?
One. Not more than
this
one.
Spring training, half the spring training is going to be practicing hitting the pitcher. A football dummy.
I'm going to tell you, it'd be a lot harder to hit a pitcher with a thrown bat
than
to hit a batter with a thrown ball.
No, because what happens, what does the pitcher do? The pitcher starts walking towards home plate. So he's much closer at that point.
Well, I would let him stay on the rubber, but he has to keep one foot on the rubber while we throw the bat at him. I'm being facetious. Just joking around. Everybody calm down. Brian got hit in Chicago and twice the night before. That's why they threw on inside on him. Okay. Is this like, I'm reading from the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. Is this like the goon thing in hockey? Maybe not goons, but protectors of the better player. Once the better players are hit or messed with, the other guys get involved. I like throwing at other players. Here's one. There was a pretty exciting Padres game at Coors Field in 07. That's true. We can hang our hats on that one.
Best game I've ever been to.
Hamels is a left-handed pitcher throwing to a right-hand hitter. It was intentional. It's a good point.
I don't think the way because he was a lefty, they can't
throw inside.
Throw an errant ball,
I guess.
Inside?
I suppose.
When he's trying to...
Come on, Rockies hit multiple Cubs first. All right, apparently to my buddy Mark Mellick, who's a big Cubs fan, I like him anyways. In Chicago sports radio, they tied it back. They tied it back to last year.
The playoff game or regular season?
They tied it back to this incident last year. Chris Bryant was hit in the head by a pitch last year. Wow. And then Bryant got hit twice yesterday. So they're tying it, at least in Chicago, back to an incident from last year and then him getting plunked. So this was definitely intentional.
It was their last meeting.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You know, last chance. You waited.
Right.
Now we'll get you back.
Okay. You all right with that? That baseball?
That's baseball.
Mike, you're on the fan. Hey, Mike. Mike. Mike, we hardly knew you. Tonight, is the NBA season over or are we just going?
It's been a weird series. It's hard to call. Are they deflated with Durant? Are the Warriors exhausted from
five
so
straight
many,
years?
So many playoff games. Yeah. You get to appreciate what LeBron James did.
It's amazing.
For so long.
It's incredible.
And he did not have the cast, for the most part, that the Warriors have. He single-handedly had the Cavs on his back for a lot of those playoff trips. Now, down in Miami, he had a much better cast around him, but the Warriors look tired. And it's the last game at Oracle. I don't know if there's a boost there from the crowd that they'll get, but that only lasts so long. That's a couple minutes into the game. It's a weird series. Toronto is Kawhi, and somebody else has an unexpected big game.
What are you hoping for?
I always hope for seven games.
So
I want to be entertained as long as, just like hockey, as long as possible. But I think it'd be good for the NBA to show that. I mean, the knock on Kevin Durant is he basically bought him a couple championships because he went to a team that was already established.
Like Raymond Bork.
Right.
Right.
I hate that guy.
So it'd be nice for, if Golden State were to win without Kevin Durant, it's like you don't need, well, they sort of, you can call Draymond Green, but he was a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they have, they're kind of homegrown.
Yeah.
Outside of Iguodala. So it'd be nice to see a team that did it the right way without Kevin Durant.
I can't help myself. I'm pulling for the Warriors. I just don't feel connected to Toronto.
One more game with Drake.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? I can't help myself. I love watching Steph Curry. I think it's Steph Curry. I think I'm just a huge Steph Curry fan. And
see, it's, for me, it's, you always go Lillard. I go McCollum. You like Steph.
You like Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson.
Well, he's great too.
He's a better defender. He's a better overall basketball player.
Oh my lord.
I mean, Steph.
We're just parsing things. They're both incredible.
Disagree?
That Klay is a better basketball player?
Overall.
Than Steph?
Steph's defensively has his limitations.
That's what you care about? Defense?
I said overall. That's defense is part of overall. Rebounding. Defense. There are other facets to the game other than shooting threes.
Yeah, statistically speaking, he's one of, if not the best three-point shooter of all time. So does Klay have an aspect of his game that's elevated to the level that Steph's is?
Klay's three-point game is near Steph's. Steph's defense is not near Klay's. I just prefer that type of basketball player. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, it's fine. They're both incredible players. I was going to say, who do you like better, Sean Lennon or Paul McCartney?
Is neither an option?
This is The Drive on The Fan.